You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, all-powerful, omnipotent, everywhere at the same time, omnipresent, all-knowledgeable, omniscient, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. My scripture is Matthew 27:33-35. And 28, 5, and 6. My text is Matthew 27:35-28, 5-6, which states, "And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. They came to a place called Golgotha, near it adjoining to Jerusalem, probably the common place of execution. If Jesus had had a house of his own in Jerusalem, probably for his greater disgrace, they would have crucified him before his own door. But now in the same place where criminals were sacrificed to the justice of the government was our Lord Jesus sacrificed to the justice of God. Some think that it was called the place of a skull because it was the common charnel house where the bones and skulls of dead men were laid together out of the way, lest people should touch them and be defiled thereby. Here lay the trophies of death's victory over multitudes of children of men. And when by dying Christ would destroy death, he added this circumstance of honor to his victory, that he triumphed over death upon his own dunghill. At Golgotha, they crucified him, nailed his hands and feet to the cross, and then reared it up and him hanging on it. For so the manner of the Romans was to crucify. Let our hearts be touched with the feeling of that exquisite pain which our blessed Savior now endured. And let us look upon him who was thus pierced and moaned. Was ever sorrow like unto his sorrow? And when we behold the manner of death he died, let us end that behold with what manner of love he loved us. The barbarous and abusive treatment they gave him, in which their mind and evil intent competed which should excel. As if death, so great a death, was not bad enough, they contrived to add to the bitterness and terror of it. By the drink they provided for him before he was nailed to the cross, it was usual to have a cup of spiced wine for those to drink of. They were to be put to death according to Solomon's direction, Proverbs 31:6-7. Give strong drink to him that is ready to perish. But with the cup which Christ was to drink of, they mingle vinegar and gall to make it sour and bitter. This signified the sin of man, which is a root of bitterness, bearing gall and wormwood. Deuteronomy 29:18. The Santa perhaps rolls it under his tongue as a sweet morsel, but to God, it is grapes of gall. Deuteronomy 32:32. It was so to the Lord Jesus when he bare our sins, and sooner or later, it will be so to the sinner himself. Bitterness at the latter end, even bitter than death. Ecclesiastes 7:26. It signified the wrath of God. That cup which his father put into his hand, a bitter cup indeed, like the bitter water which caused the curse. Numbers 5:18. This drink they offered him, as was literally foretold, Psalm 69:21, and he tasted thereof, and so had the worst of it, took the bitter taste into his mouth, and let no bitter cup go by him untasted, when he was making atonement for all our sinful tasting of forbidden fruit. Now he was tasting death in its full bitterness. He would not drink it, because he would not have the best of it, would have nothing like an opiate to lessen his sense of pain. For he would die so as to feel himself die, because he had so much work to do as our high priest in his suffering work. By the dividing of his garments, there, when they nailed him to the cross, they stripped him of his garments, at least his upper garments. For by sin we were made naked to our shame, and thus he purchased for us white raiment to cover us. If we be at any time stripped of our comforts for Christ, let us bear it patiently. He was stripped for us. Enemies may strip us of our clothes, but cannot strip us of our best comforts, cannot take from us the garments of praise, the clothes of those that were executed at the executioner's feet. 4 soldiers were employed in crucifying Christ, and they must each of them have a share. His upper garment, if it were divided, would be of no use to any of them, and therefore they agreed to cast lots for it. Some think that the garment was so fine and rich that it was worth contending for, but that agreed not with the poverty Christ appeared in. Perhaps they had heard of those that had been cured by touching the hem of his garment, and they thought it valuable for some magic virtue in it. They hoped to get money of his friends for such a sacred relic, because in ridicule they would seem to put a value upon it as royal clothing. Or it was for diversion, to pass away the time while they waited for his death. They would play a game at dice for the clothes. But whatever they designed, the word of God is herein accomplished. In that famous psalm, the first words of which Christ made use of upon the cross, and it said, they parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Psalm 22:18. This was never true of David, but looks primarily at Christ, of whom David in spirit spoke. Then is the stumbling block of this part of the cross ceased, for it appears to have been by the established counsel and foreknowledge of God. Christ stripped himself of his glories to divide them among us. New kind of hospital coming to rural America. To qualify, facilities must close beds. Rural emergency hospitals are starting to gain a small foothold in the United States. By Daphne Boies, Associated Press health writer, March 16, 2024. National headlines from ABC News. As rural hospitals continue to struggle financially, a new type of hospital is slowly taking root, especially in the Southeast. Rural emergency hospitals receive more than $3 million in federal funding a year, and higher Medicare reimbursements in exchange for closing all inpatient beds and providing 24/7 emergency care. While that makes it easier for a hospital to keep its doors open, experts say it doesn't solve all of the challenges facing rural health care. People might have to travel further for treatments for illnesses that require inpatient stays, like pneumonia or COVID-19. In some of the communities where hospitals have converted to the new designation, residents are confused about what kind of care they can receive. Plus, rural hospitals are hesitant to make the switch because there's no margin of error. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is overcoming fear. Fear is big business in the 21st century. Whether we turn on the evening news, listen to the radio on the way to work, or watch people overtake the Capitol, we are bombarded by messages that are intended to induce fear, anxiety, apprehension, and hopelessness. We are reminded time and time again that the world is a dangerous, unpredictable place. So it's no surprise that you will sometimes experience fear. The 7 most common fears are fear of criticism, fear of poverty, fear of death, fear of failure, fear of offending others, fear of looking foolish, and fear of success. What are you afraid of? And more importantly, how can you overcome your fears? Well, here are a few ways to help you overcome. First, understand that fear is one of society's greatest commodities. Modern media constantly barrages you with fear-provoking, attention-grabbing headlines designed to capture your thoughts and redirect your life. Your task is to combat fear with faith and maintain a positive attitude. Isaiah 43:1 says, "Don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Second, study God's word and trust God's promises. Studying God's word is important because it is hard to trust what you do not know. God's promises give you faith, hope, and courage. When you are afraid, his promises will comfort you. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Third, guard your thoughts and your heart from the anxieties and distractions that might cause you to stray away from his path. When you encounter situations that make you afraid, turn your thoughts and prayers to God. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." And finally, love God and your neighbor. Now you may be thinking, what's love got to do with it? Well, John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment, so the one who is afraid is not perfected in love." Remember, all of us have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. But the good news is that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So for the unsaved, it's the right time for you to believe the good news, repent, and accept Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior. For the saved, it's the right time for you to pray, trust and obey his word, and take purposeful action for his glory. Be safe and stay encouraged, my friends. And when fear knocks at your door, answer with faith. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.
Something new is going on, and the show is called